Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. As fall reaches through our backyards, Tree Diaper, did you not water very well this year? Tree Diaper is a device that can help you water better. And if you didn't have a good year this year, you should get a hold of Tree Diaper now so you can be prepared for next year.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, you can check out all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Well, as fall comes and winter soon will arrive, we're going to talk about house plants. And since most of us are now home, whether working from home or home for other specific reasons, we want to look at what we can put in our homes to liven up our environment. Now, there's a YouTube channel called TKO Total. I forget what the name of it. Big channel. But they did an experiment of having a bunch of plants in a small room with a person in it for multiple hours to see if there was a level in the oxygen in the air. And they kind of determined that you'd need a whole lot of plants in order for that to take place. Now, it didn't determine whether or not it helped remove the toxins in the air. But just having houseplants, edible or non-edible, it is a mental boost in the cold days of winter that we experience.
Right. I agree. And it kind of gives you – there's a lot of different houseplant options, so you can – put, you know, tuck plants in many places.
Which is dangerous because some people may not know what is the best for their home. They purchase one, it doesn't do well, and they get discouraged. Oh, I waste a lot of money. I don't know what I'm doing. Forget this.
Right. And I think one thing that happens a lot with houseplants is people overwater them.
Too much love.
Too much love. So you want to get in the habit of just watering once per week. Or you could purchase something or make something that is like a little self-waterer.
Or a moisture meter.
A moisture meter so that you're not overwatering it. I know this would happen. Even when I worked in the office, people would say, I have this little bit of water. Can I dump it in your plant?
And you do that 12 times a day.
Or, you know, even just like 4 times a week.
Right.
And I would only water my plant, you know, once a week, and it did really well. So you definitely want to keep that in mind.
And with houseplants, it's almost better to go on the schedule of not enough water rather than too much water, because then that eliminates the opportunity of a lot of fungal root issues, a lot of different problems. Especially, too much water is much more dangerous than not enough.
Yeah, and that's one thing to keep in mind. So if you're like, oh, I'm so horrible at remembering the watering stuff.
You're okay.
I mean, once you get past a point, probably not good, but houseplants might be the best idea for you. So let's talk about a spider plant.
Okay.
Spider plants are great for removing formaldehyde from the air. And you're like, why is there formaldehyde in
too
my
much
air?
Formaldehyde? reference.
Yeah. It comes from all sorts of things like paper bags, wax paper, facial tissues, paper towels, napkins, particle board, plywood, synthetic fabric. So formaldehyde is kind of all around us. We don't realize it.
And here's the thing. I'll give you we look at history, and there's very different variables of why past generations lived much longer than current generations. Well, part of the thing, and I have no scientific proof beyond this, beyond my common sense, and that has, you know, sometimes you go and you know enough about enough things to get you in trouble on everything. But in today's society, what do we have? We have all kind of microwaves flying around with radios and cell phones, and we've got every kind of toxicity in carpet and boards and wood and tape and glue that we're breathing all of this in on a regular basis, more exhaust in the air and all this. We're not doing ourselves any favors, but there is some, I believe, correlation to why our great-great-grandparents lived to be 114, and now we barely can get to 83. That's your rant for the day. Brought to you by nobody but me.
Okay. So anyway, back to spider plants. Spider plants can be grown pretty much anywhere in your home, and they can grow in any type of soil. So whatever soil comes in the container that you got the spider plant in, as long as it doesn't outgrow the container, you can just leave it in that. At some point, you might have to repot it. And
is there a guide to knowing when the right time to up-pot is the term to move that plant from a 4 to a 6 or that 6 to an 8?
So this is what you want to do is when you purchase that plant, you want to ask the person you buy it from.
Okay.
Or you can I would highly recommend going to a plant store, but you buy your plant from a big box store. That's
grocery
okay.
stores have these.
Right, grocery stores. No shame in that. Just go online and do some research.
Look at when you buy the plant before you purchase it, hold it in your hand and slightly gently remove the pot that it's in, and you can see how root bound that plant may be. And if the roots are nice and clean and bright and white, you're in good shape. If they're all yucky and dark color, plants don't get that one. And
right.
And then you can up pot it. Now, you don't want to go from a 4-inch to a 12-inch. 2 inches in a jump is plenty because it's going to take quite a bit of time for that plant to go and expand out and fill that 6-inch pot when it was in a 4-inch. So don't overdo yourself.
Right. And I'm not plant shaming anybody, no. But there was plenty of people when I worked in the office whose plants were in a smaller pot than they should have been, and those plants lived just fine.
It's like, yeah.
So it's not ideal, but whatever. So spider plants, yeah, they are great plants. They require just enough water to keep the soil moist. That's all you need. And they're pretty low maintenance.
Low light condition, favorable.
Yeah.
They're very favorable in the low light conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's another one in which we can have or could advise people to have? Aloe vera.
Aloe vera. So
assuming your cat doesn't knock it off and destroy a lot
on
of the plant.
On a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking from experience. So aloe vera, it's fun plant to grow.
Benefits,
you know, you can use the aloe vera leaf, the stuff inside the leaf, medicinally to apply to your skin. I don't know what else you would use it for.
Burns.
Like, yeah, burns. I mean, burns.
Yeah.
Apply it to your skin for burns. I've seen people put it on their face directly mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
And you can
do your own research.
And you can, whenever a pup or a second growth comes up, you can harvest that and put create another plant with it. So it will kind of propagate itself with some care. And we purchased ours at a local garden center, independent garden center, and we made sure we had one that had two separate plants in it. We had one pot we paid, I don't know, $6 for, but it had two plants in it, and that's the key. You're buying the pot. It doesn't say that you're paying per plant. So keep that in mind when you're doing a houseplant situation or you're buying the six-packs in the spring for your vegetables. If you can find a six-pack that actually has 8 or 12 because somebody dropped too many seeds in, hey, you're paying for the six-pack. Whatever comes in that six-pack, that's bonus for you.
All right, so English ivy is the next one we can talk about here. It's a great plant for the bedroom.
Okay. Because
it helps purify the air a little bit, kind of filter the air,
uh-huh.
especially maybe if you have allergies or asthma and you think about sleeping at night and how that could help be beneficial. So that is one option for you. So if you do have if you have children and pets, English ivy is poisonous.
Okay.
So if you have a little furry friend that likes to eat plants, probably not so much for your home.
Okay. Lavender is another one which you can grow. Lavender, many people find it challenging to get it to germinate. We have probably a 80% success rate with lavender. We've never really had a very hard struggle growing it. And when we have grown it, we've grown it in 1 gallon grow bags from rootmaker.com. You can use coupon code radio21 and save 15% on your order. They have 1 to 60 gallon grow bags. Works very well. And you can grow that indoors. With minimal amount of maintenance.
So lavender is something that you can put it pretty much anywhere in your home, and you can buy an established plant if you can find one. But they do like lots of sunlight. So if you have a sunnier area, they do recommend putting it in your bedroom because lavender, the scent of lavender is naturally calming.
Mm-hmm.
So it could, you know, benefit you there. But maybe you have a stressful other area of your home that gets a lot of light.
Buy two plants.
Maybe you work from home now and right. You're like, I just need I need something to smell to make myself feel better.
And if that's the case, and you can't get the lavender, you can get in a few essential oils.
Yeah,
you can get it from Simply Earth, and you can let that aroma fill your work area if you want to do that. Now, we've got a plant that we had in the studio, and now we've moved it to other portions. We have a studio in our home, so that's why we're referencing this. We've moved it in the kitchen on the refrigerator. Now, what kind of plant is that?
That's a Monstera plant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a large leafy plant. The leaves look like tropical.
Tropical, yeah.
And it was a type of plant I had always wanted.
Uh-huh.
And so I purchased one.
Right. You've had a lot of these. I've always wanted these. And I learned these after 10 years of marriage. I'm still learning things. I've always wanted a cat named Tex. I've always wanted a Monstera. We continue to learn things.
About each other.
Yes.
Yes. So, So, yeah, I have a Monstera plant, and it's just fun and pretty and cool.
It's dividing. It's growing very, very well. We've got a south-facing window, and the refrigerator is about six, seven feet off that window, and it captures plenty of light. It really does very well on that. What else do we have? Our snake plant. Now, a snake plant,
snake plant. Sometimes I think they call it mother-in-law's tongue.
Uh-huh. Because it's very flat and tall and pointy. Right.
Yeah. So people put this kind of anywhere, and they can grow to be quite large.
It grows vertical rather than horizontal. It's very tightly plant. It's a very tight plant that grows straight up.
Right. And so this is another one that is supposed to kind of improve indoor air quality. I would say any plant does that.
To some level.
To some level. Yeah. It's...
And even if psychologically it helps as well, just seeing the green, seeing that life in a pot next to the window or in a bedroom or something like that, just psychologically it helps your mental state.
Right, and it does, and it definitely I have unfortunately RIP to my Calathea. I had one in the office. I brought it home, and I think we accidentally cooked the roots. But that one was very nice to have because I would trim the leaves back and, water and care for it. And the same thing in your home, just like your garden outside in your home. Maybe you don't have an option to have a garden, or you don't have as big of a garden as you want. You can do this in your home, and it's fun.
And with that plant, the Calathea, it depended on what type of water you watered it, and if you watered it wrong or too much, the leaves would roll right up, and then or if it was too dry, you could watch the leaves move very rapidly.
Move because because of the daylight,
mm-hmm.
but it also did that because of the watering.
Yeah, but it wasn't like you had to do a time lapse. You could sit there and watch that plant move, which was a little unnerving if you're that type of person that kind of thinks plants come alive at night, like Toy Story.
Well, when I was in the office, people would notice. Uh-huh. They would say your plant moves from
clearly they
from
weren't
day
working
to,
hard enough
tonight. You know, yeah. Well, whatever. So,
well, with that being said, as fall is here and summer has gone, the nighttime temperature is getting cooler, and we have forgotten about our lawn, and we can't do that because if we do that, we're going to have problems next spring with larvae.
Right. So just like because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards. Those Japanese beetles, we don't want to forget about those either. They may be gone, but they're not far away. They feasted on your roses and berries this summer, but they also laid eggs in your turf, so they can start again next year. You can take a stand with Phylum's Grubgon. Grubgon is a non-chemical BT granular that specifically targets those scarab pests and their larvae. You simply apply the granule with a spreader, irrigate into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grubgon easy to use, but the best part about it, it's non-chemical, and it's effective on controlling those grubs that will soon be those Japanese beetles in the spring. And it has zero toxicity towards bees and other pollinators, so you don't have to worry about them taking it back to their hives and toxifying and killing them. That's Grubgon from PhylumBioProducts.com. Grubgon, the natural choice. PhylumBioProducts.com. Bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.